This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. In case you haven't heard, The Phantom of the Opera is in town for its Malaysian premiere. And for lovers of musical theatre, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical is possibly one of the most iconic. So this local staging is playing at Istana Budaya until the 7th of July. And joining me today are the three main actors of the show, Matt Lizzie, who plays Raoul, Megan Picerno, who is playing Christine, and the Phantom himself, Jonathan Rocksmith. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So this is, for all intents and purposes, the premiere of The Phantom in KL. What is that like, knowing that you're sort of bringing this show, well, 30 years after it first debuted, to a Malaysian audience?
For me, the most exciting thing is, because The Phantom of the Opera has been part of the syllabus, and it was, I think it was part of your textbooks at one point.
Yes, in our literature text, yes.
There's an awareness of the legend of Phantom, which isn't always there when people see the show. So the fact that there's a relationship with the original material means that people now can appreciate what the musical has done to adapt what was in the book. Mm-hmm. And I think for a musical that is unashamedly romantic, to have that come out of what is essentially a very confused book, is fascinating, because people, you know, walk up and say, "Oh, we love Eric," and only people who read the book know that the Phantom's name is Eric.
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
true.
Or they say, you know, "Raoul, where's Count Philippe, who's your brother?" And they know about it. Mm-hmm. So the ownership of the show is really special, and to come out every night and really know that people are halfway there with you, it's the most amazing feeling.
I mean, also, we're making history, you know, all of us are. The audiences that come, I mean, we are part of this amazing legacy, and to then bring it somewhere for the first time, not many people can say they have the honor and privilege to be able to do so. And it's pretty special. The energy that we've all felt these past few sold out performances has been, excuse me, nothing less than incredible. I mean, they're so excited to be there, and we're so excited, and there's such an exchange of energy that's going on with that. And it's magic.
I agree.
It's magic.
Jonathan, you said earlier, unashamedly romantic. Mm. You know, and that's one of the things that I came to mind when I realized The Phantom's been playing for 30 years, that some of these ideas and I suppose the approach, that whole, like, you know, that love, that huge love that exists in the center of the story, the obsession, is that something that ages well? Is that still something that the audiences respond to?
Oh, I think where we are in the world at the moment, unashamed romance is something we desperately need.
Yeah.
I think the whole principle that love is love is love, no matter what it is, is universally relatable for human beings, because it's kind of what makes us human to begin with. The fact that it's told through music, which in itself is also a universal language, explains Phantom's endurance. I mean, we're not even going to go into the fact that it's one of the most spectacular entertainments, and what you see and everything. That's clearly a given. As a theme, I think, not sadly, it's almost more relevant for the world now than the Thatcher era it was when it was born.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly when you know, the three of us have a lot of stage time together.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And the acoustic in the Istana Budaya is such that we can hear the audience more than previous venues.
It's great. Amazing.
And you hear people sobbing, and people only crying if they're feeling things.
Yeah.
And I think it's the perfect time to feel things.
I mean,
I feel like my personal takeaway from the show, just like personally, is that, like, it's just so easy to not allow yourself to truly fall in love, and it's like fully, and especially if you've been in love before and been hurt and everything. So I think it's just the takeaway for me is just really allow yourself to be swept away with the romance in your own personal life.
Mm. Well, and also, love is a universal language, like music. So the fact that our show, they go hand in hand, and then to present it to a culture that most of us have never been to, there's an understanding regardless that I might not speak the language here, or, you know, I mean, there's something about it is it all brings us together. And that's also such an incredible human experience to have here. It's really quite wonderful.
Well, and the three of you are, you know, you've been in musical theater for a while now. Jonathan, you've played the Phantom before.
Yes.
You've played the Phantom. And Megan, you've played Christine in Love Never Dies.
Yes.
And for Matt, this is your first sort of entry into the Phantom. So I'm curious to hear from these different entry points into the musical, what does it mean to be performing in the Phantom of the Opera, which is this sort of iconic text within the industry?
I mean, I think it's really exciting, and it's also like a huge responsibility because the audiences know the show so well. They come having seen it several times in various productions, and so they come with their own set of expectations and their favorites. Like, oh, I preferred this guy and this. So I feel like we have a lot to live up to and to honor the piece, but then to also be able to allow to bring ourselves to the role as well. So it's a huge responsibility, but also it's so rewarding too because there's so much love for the show and for these characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, indeed, to basically join this this long line of incredible actors, male and female, and now we're past the torch, as it were, to carry on the tradition. It is a great responsibility, and also it's very exciting because we're now part of this family and part of one of the most iconic and epic shows to have ever existed and probably that ever will exist. And, you know, to be able to sing the brilliant music of Andrew Lloyd Webber every single night. I mean, this is things that people dream of, and we're getting to live that dream every night. It's
And what is it like being the Phantom in the Phantom of the Opera?
You know, something Matt said is very true. The pressure that comes with the show, in terms of the expectation, purely because people own the show more than any other musical. I think Phantoms, you know, perhaps aside from maybe Cats, bred that idea of, you know, like they call themselves fanatics with a PH. There is such an expectation when you walk out there on all of us, but the Phantom himself, the pressure to deliver, you know, Raoul and Christine have far more stage time than I do. They have the opportunity to build and grow and show the character development. They have like a 5 kilometer marathon to run every night. I have 5 100-meter sprints. I come on stage, I have to make an impression, then I'm gone. I do that 5 times and that's it. And that's really, really difficult because you have to psych yourself up every single time before you go on, then calm down, then go on, then calm down, as opposed to play the long game. All of that, however, pales in comparison to the moment where you put the mask on every night and you go, well, okay, I'm the guy tonight. I think because I was a fan of the show first, to be in the show, let alone the title character, still like affects us. Whether you're the Phantom or you're down the way, you know, with your crew, you know, not that crew's below, but across the spectrum in terms of responsibility, there's such a prestige to the show that you're acutely aware of when you're part of it. We have an orchestra, we have the most amazing costumes, we have the most amazing, it's the Rolls Royce of musicals. It really, really is. And I don't think any of us take it for granted, but coming to a new territory like this, where it's never been before, we've all gone, oh my God, we're part of the Phantom of the Opera. And I don't think it's just exclusive to the guy behind the mask. I think we all feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really amazing. Yeah.
And what is it like with this particular configuration, the three of you? Because with live theater, obviously the chemistry and the performance dynamics make a big difference. So what do you think the three of you bring specifically to the show?
I mean, I personally think that our chemistry, this is, see, of course, like we're all, well, if I say so myself, wonderful actors, wonderful. No, but truly, I mean, but chemistry is a thing. Well, the show is written so well that technically you don't need the chemistry. But in my opinion, we have it. And that's something that you can't create. It's there or it's not. And the creatives that cast us together, I think, did an incredible job because it's real. I mean, that chemistry on stage, you can't fake that. Mm-hmm. And to have such a, I mean, both Matt and Jonathan, for me, I feel so safe emotionally on stage that I can go to places of vulnerability and betrayal and love and everything that I might not be able to do fully if I didn't have that support system on stage. And because of that, again, magic happens then when you have that exchange between people and it's just souls that are on stage. It's,
I mean, I just feel like we the three of us do a really good job of telling the story just because it is a love triangle. And I think it's believable in people. What I like people to take from the experience is that Christine is actually torn between the two of them. So I think we do a really good job of telling the story.
Hmm. Has the sort of story or the way you approach it changed now that we have Love Never Dies? And Christine, I'm sure that happens to you more often.
Okay, I was ready to respond anyway. I was like, yes, Christine, I'm here. Yes, yes.
Megan, you've played Christine in Love Never Dies. Does that kind of post-inform how you think of Christine in Phantom?
It's a fascinating combination of things because Love Never Dies, of course, was not written when Phantom was first created. Yeah. So I do have to remember that. However, I also, now that it has been created and written, and I have lived her future self for over 400 performances. You know, it's something that we actually sat down and talked to at length with the creatives. You know, I mean, I know where she's going to end up. I know who she will become. However, so on one side, the seeds of that greatness, I mean, not everyone becomes a world famous opera diva, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I understand that the seeds of strength that you see in Love Never Dies were there in Phantom. So in that way, it does inform me certain personality characteristics that perhaps I play slightly different. Mm-hmm. However, just like Megan at 17 didn't know who I'd be now, Christine doesn't know, and she doesn't have the same tools. And sometimes that's actually quite a challenge for me because I know that I can't play Christine at 28, who does have all these facilities and life experiences, you know? So you kind of almost have to forget the future of where she's going to go and experience them for the first time, which is also, as an actor, it's such a whole experience to be able to go back in time, as it were, and have this 360 understanding of this character in full. It's pretty incredible. But it's that duality of forget what's happened, but know that there's some underlying characteristics there that perhaps people who have not had the pleasure of playing Christine in Love Never Dies would not have experienced.
Right. We've sort of touched on the amazing music of Andrew Lloyd Webber briefly in all of your answers. But I am curious to sort of know that for each of you personally, is there a particular number that that is particularly special and that you look forward to performing every time you go on?
It's such a difficult question. You know, standard musicals, everybody has a favorite song because musical, you know, scene, okay, now a song, right, then another scene, a song. The way the show's written is it's almost sung through. So because everything is tied to the next moment, it's like a house of cards. And to single out one moment, I've always battled with that sort of answer because Phantom is not a normal musical. Mm-hmm. So that's a very normal musical question, but it almost can't really fit with Phantom because, yes, the show's built on hits. You know, he had three, you know, massive hits on the charts before the show opened. So obviously those songs are very well known. Music of the Night, All I Ask of You, and the theme song. But, you know, there's so much more in the show. And what makes it really difficult is in context, those songs are completely different.
Right, yes.
Music of the Night in context, All I Ask of You in context. Even the title number, what happens on stage, and where it is in the show completely changes the number. So what you might like about the song out of context is not what you like about it in the show.
Yes.
For me, my favorite moment in the entire show is actually not a song. It's the violin solo going into the graveyard before Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again. For me, that sums the show up perfectly. Mm-hmm. That is Phantom. But you only know that if you watch the show, which obviously all the listeners will be doing.
And do you guys have particular moments, either like these or even particular songs?
I do, actually. Yeah. Okay, yeah. There's a couple. So the overture.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when that organ hits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Your entire body. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just electrifies every fiber in your being. So that's one moment that bum, 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 and it's, there's nothing like it. It's rock. It's classical. It's, oh, it's just the most incredible feeling. I mean, feeling, you know, Final Layer for me, for so many reasons, musically, emotionally, is one of my favorite scenes. Also for Christine herself, because it's such a turning point. I mean, for Christine there, we see her become a woman through the course of the show. And so there are key moments musically and also song-wise that I find as major catapults in her growth. So Final Layer particularly is where we see her really take her strength back. So of course that's, and also deal with very complicated situations. But Wishing is a song very dear to me. And it's very difficult for me, actually. I know what it's like to lose someone very close and wish they were there and help them with difficult situations, as I think that most of us do. And I think that's the magic of Andrew Lloyd Webber's music, is that it people understand that. And so I think Wishing is one of my favorite, both the lyrics and musically. It just, it completely sums up what a person feels like when they want to ask for help for someone that's not there anymore. And so those are my key moments that I love.
I agree. I'm also a big fan of the Final Layer. I just think anytime that the three of us are singing together and like expressing our feelings, because I feel like a lot of times when we are singing together, we're all kind of in our own worlds.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's kind of pretty cool. And so, yeah, I love that Final Layer moment. I'm a sap too. Like, I love the romantic part of the beginning of All I Ask of You, those chords leading up to it.
Beautiful.
And I went Before We Hug and all that. Oh. So, yeah, I do love that.
So I've always wondered, and this is, I've never had the opportunity to ask a Christine this before, the whole love triangle and sort of that relationship that she has with Raoul versus the Phantom. How do you balance that for yourself as a performer, as an actress, especially given that in 30 years, the way we look at romance, the way we think of relationships have also evolved?
I think love is not black and white. It is very gray. And I think it is very possible to have love for more than one person at the same time and different kinds of love. I mean, the love, she does have love for Raoul. She does have love for the Phantom and for herself and for, you know what I mean? So it's not the same kind of love. You know, it's also, we know what it's like to be in love with someone that's all the checkboxes on paper that we should be in love with. Mm-hmm. We also know what it's like to be in love with someone that has this inexplicable connection with us on a soul level, a primal level, that we cannot help but love them, that understands us in a way that, you know, and for better or for worse, you know, and also what it's like to have love for someone that is deemed as unlovable by society. And so every night it's that give and take, pull and push. And I really do think there is conflict, although in my opinion, she does love probably one more than the other. Like, we all have that when you are in between. But I won't say who. So,
and
I think a big issue, our ages. Hmm. Normally, the Phantom's in his mid-40s. Mm. Raoul is in his mid-30s. And Christine is sort of early 20s. And that's the established love triangle. If you go back to the original company, they were rather older than we are. Mm-hmm. And I think what they created in the 80s, the idea in the 80s of what was logical love between those three was fine. But if you were to bring that standard triangle down to 2019 and say to a contemporary audience, okay, you can see how torn she is. By society standards today, people are going, what choice is there to make there? Obviously, because youth, anybody's closer to you on an age level, you understand why there's an attraction there. So I think the fact that we are very much closer to each other, this love triangle is far closer, an isosceles, if you will, that on an attraction level, a primal level, this makes sense. I mean, not to big Matt and I up, but that's a much harder choice now than if I were 20 years older, according to a contemporary audience. Mm. Right. So what that's done is it's infused a lot more testosterone into our fight, which makes her decision that much harder, because we're able to fight for her in a far more virile way.
And I do think, actually, from an audience point of view as well, the more difficult we feel that choice is to make, the more invested we get in the story as well.
Exactly.
As you mentioned, I think there are definitely people in the audience who would say, well, I would have picked you know, him or him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Jonathan, I am curious that, you know, compared to Christine and Raoul, the Phantom is not a character that is as recognizably, I suppose, as relatable to the average person, because, you know, he starts off as the man in the mask, and as you also said earlier, we don't get as much of him on stage. So how do you balance that sort of that mystery that is such an integral part of the character with giving us a humanity to him as well?
We had a note session yesterday, and I was reminded of just how difficult this role is, because you're given, as I said, you're given five scenes, and you're told you have to be angry, obsessed, broken, tender, romantic, a genius, and the list goes on and on and on. But you could do all of that, but keep it all inside. And to come on stage, first of all, in my own opinion, of the entrances I've been given, the entrance I have in the show is the best I've ever been given. To come through a mirror with smoke and all of that, like, that's honestly, I also have the best exit I've ever been given in a musical. Mm. You're given all these toys and these wonderful stage effects and illusions, and all of that is lovely. But if there's nothing anchoring it, that the fact that he actually is just a normal man who loves, who feels, who perhaps feels love in a way that most of us will never be able to. He feels it 10 times more than any of us. He's a bare wire, and there's no logic to him, and that's what's the most difficult thing to do. However, by the time we get to the end of the show, I mean, Megan and Matt have both spoken about the final layer. I won't give it away. I mean, I hope there are no spoilers, but by the end, you know, you've got to be able to break the audience's heart there in terms of giving them context. He's not asking for forgiveness. He's not asking for permission. But he gives you context and you finally understand why. And I think automatically people understand that unrequited love hurts a normal person. But this guy clearly is not a normal person. So the challenge that I face every night is doing all of these terrible things, but coming out at the end of it absolved in a way, because his entire journey is to get to the point where he can say, I love you. Mm. That's for most people, that's an easy thing to do. But to get to that point and make it believable, he has to be real. Mm. Otherwise, yes, it is just smoke and mirrors and a lot of tricks. And quite frankly, I don't think that you could ever not deliver in this role. It's so well written. But if you want to stick it to them, the more humanity and reality that you infuse into it, because this is a melodrama. And as Hal Prince, the original director, says, you can go as far as you like in melodrama and be as big and as over the top as you like, as long as it's honest.
Yep.
Mm. When I think that's one way, actually, slightly. I mean, like, this is a period piece and there is such a great tradition, but our creative team gave us a little bit more permission to, I think, be more human and a little bit stronger. And I think that's what makes it slightly more relatable to a 2019 audience as opposed to 1980s. Again, we have all the tradition. It is a period piece. So, you know, there are certain rules because of that you must adhere to. But that humanity and, you know, there is, I think, more of a sparkle of sexuality and sensuality and realness and rawness that that perhaps our production was given permission to do, that a younger audience, given the current climate of everything happening in the world, might understand and be more related to then.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we do need to wrap up pretty soon. But before we end, I'm just going to ask, if you had to describe The Phantom of the Opera in one word, what would each of you pick?
Oh, we might pick the same.
One word.
I'll go first. Romantic.
I'll go last.
Extravagant.
And Megan?
Oh my gosh, there's so many words. Transformative.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Thank you. Likewise. Thanks for having us.
I've been speaking to Jonathan Rocksmith, Megan Picerno, and Matt Lysie, who are the main performers in the current Kuala Lumpur run of The Phantom of the Opera. It's showing till the 7th of July at Istana Budaya, and tickets range from 200 ringgit to 680 ringgit, which you can get at ticketcharge.com.my. If you've missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my, on our BFM app, and also on Spotify. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.